up to you. It has no fixed meaning. That's non-normal discourse. It breaks free of our paradigms, of our fixed structures of discourse. It's like, in the middle of a conversation, throwing in a new move, a new gesture, stepping back, or coughing when someone says something you disagree with. It's that kind of an idea. You're breaking up the normal flow of things. What happens is, if that turns to be fruitful, if that metaphor strikes you, you'll try it out. And if enough of you find it fruitful, it will eventually become literal, so that it's no longer a metaphor. Consider the metaphor. It's raining cats and dogs. Is it even a metaphor anymore? It's an idiomatic expression. Everyone knows what it means. It literally means it's raining real hard. The first time it was said, it may not have meant that. Right? It's become normalized. So it is through this, then, metaphorical redescription, non-normal discourse, that we come to understand the contingency of our own views. Now, the person who does such non-normal discourse, Rorty calls the strong poet. He takes the phrase from the literary critic Harold Bloom. So he'd say, any scientific innovator of a new paradigm is a strong poet. He's good at redescribing things in ways that no one had ever thought of before. Newton, for example, by talking about a thing's gravitas, its gravity, right, was a metaphor. It literally means its seriousness, its profundity. Since then, we've used the metaphor so many times that it's now become exclusively literal. It simply refers to a property which is describable in mathematical terms, an attractional force. So scientific innovators are strong poets. So are utopian reformers, right? A Frederick Douglass, who can use the term freedom in such a way to contrast it with chattel slavery and point out the contradictoriness of those two institutions in a way that Americans had never used those terms before, is a strong poet. He's getting us to redescribe ourselves in a different way. A person who can say, look at the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. Blacks are men. That's redescription, because clearly they hadn't been men before. They were not part of the same, quote, species as us in a way. That's strong poetry. A strong poet is the hero of Rorty's utopian, postmodern, bourgeois, liberal society. In other words, contingency, irony, and solidarity is his own piece of strong poetry. And he wants to argue that that's the hero of the culture he'd love to see created, and he thinks is being created in America by the young now, in a postmodern bourgeois liberal society in which the strong poet is now our hero, the Ralph Waldo Emerson, the Frederick Douglass, the Einstein, perhaps, and not the traditional normal scientist, normal thinker. All right, the second part of the text deals with something he calls ironists. Ironists are people who realize the contingency of what he calls final vocabularies. What is a final vocabulary? He says, imagine you're on your deathbed and you want to describe to someone the meaning of your life, what it was all about. Well, we'll presumably have a certain sum of words in that description which are completely vague and everyone will share. True. Good. Meaning. They'll all show up somewhere in our final vocabulary. But then, some of us will have different final vocabularies in middle-range terms. Some, if we're born, say, 400 years ago in a certain part of Europe, might say England. That would be an important term in their final vocabulary. Magna Carta, the rights of an Englishman. No taxation without representation if it was on this side of the Atlantic, perhaps. Freedom. France. Germany, whatever, various different terms would show up in our final vocabularies, and they may get even more precise than that. Poetry, science, literature, love, philosophy, depending on who we are. So those are final vocabularies, and everybody has some. The ironist is the person who, first of all, has doubts about their own final vocabulary, who says, my final vocabulary is not authorized by nature or